Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out.
Well, lots to talk about in this very personal edition of Reasonable Doubt. Spend some time lamenting over Mark's daughter's wedding, which is upcoming. Lots of laughs in this episode. Then we'll get into the Capitol riots slash insurrection, and we'll get into some Trump stuff and exposure for Trump and what he's got to look forward to legally. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. Why not save a bunch of money when you bundle your automotive with your homeowners or renter's insurance with Geico? It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle on at Geico. That's your homeowners, that's your renter's insurance, and your automotive. Put them all together under one tent at geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on. No choice, but gonna mend it, get it on. Welcome to the best hour show in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt with Mark Garagus in studio, everybody.
I have to be here. You know why? It requires my effort to be in the office to pay for postage for the wedding invitation you got.
Yeah, I got a very substantial wedding invitation from Mark. His daughter, Tenny's getting married, coming up in a couple months. And it was substantial. It was hefty.
Yeah, not the least of which, Gary, you actually saw it.
I would say it was thick,
and a $5 postage stamp and a $1 postage stamp. And then the amount of money going out for this 4th of July extravaganza is like nothing I've ever seen.
Well, the wedding scam is the greatest of all scams.
Yeah,
it's multi-layered, and I should speak to you as an attorney,
right?
Not as a father. Not as a husband, as an attorney. I had a couple thoughts. All right,
let me just tell you one thing. Right before I left, as I was leaving my house, there's some guy with a notebook. And he's got a notebook. And he's got a measuring tape. And I said, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm here for the tennis court." And I said, "Why?" He says, "Because
you've got to tent it."
Exactly. And I said, "How much is that going to cost?" The guy actually said, "I take the fifth."
Wow.
I said, "Who do you think's paying you? What do you mean you take the fifth? I want to know how much this is going to cost." And he just says, "Can't tell you."
The good news is you'll get many years of use out of that tent that's over here. Oh, no, it'll be gone on Monday.
It's gone the next day. Right. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, just to prove that Tenny is the favorite child and Jake is kind of like sloppy seconds, Tenny purposely has her wedding where the week leading up to it is Jake's birthday, but it's obliterated because of all the Tenny events. There's like four events, yeah.
Well, so here's a question that, people obviously are aware of agreements and premarital agreements and things, and they can put all the kind of verbiage they want into those documents. I have a slightly different take. So everyone knows what a prenup is, but what about this concept? And again, as an attorney, not as a father.
Okay.
Okay. First things first. The wedding is the biggest ruse ever in terms of the money, because at some point, what they do is you see this bill and you go, $5,700 for flowers? $5,700 for flowers? And then it's
wait.
That's cheap.
You dropped to zero.
Okay.
You have $5,700 for flowers. Are flowers inside of the house? And I said, "Well, wait a second. that house, we're not having it in the house. We're right. having it in the yard. She goes, yeah, but if somebody goes in to use the bathroom. I don't need to spend $5,700 for somebody who's going to the bathroom. I'll put a blindfold on them.
Yeah, get a scented candle for $11. Yeah. All right, so what happens is they throw out some crazy price. It sounds nuts.
Right.
And the main thing, and I think this is true for someone like you or I, you know, the notion of spending $1 million on an automobile is fine as long as we think it'll be worth 1.5 in 10 years.
Correct.
Right.
Now, it's funny you say that because you know what I'm saying? This is why
this is all
them.
Fleeting because it's flowers.
And it's not only fleeting, but when I get the catering proposal and I say to myself, that's a brand new Porsche.
Right,
it's a
right.
brand new Porsche.
You do the car, right.
I mean, so, that's immediate. I said, I could drive the freaking car, but, or I could serve people steak.
Right, so everything is perishable.
Correct.
The flowers, the food, the tent. I mean, it's perishable okay. for you. They're going right. to rent it out to someone down the street
well,
in
I
3 weeks.
Well, I just paid but, for it, and they're going to get the returns.
Right, right. So every facet of this, there is no durable good to any of it. It's all just in the
including
ether.
Including the marriage, because you don't get any guarantee on the marriage.
Right. So back to my agreement. The wedding dress also gets pitched. There's a lot of lies.
Right.
The wedding dress is, well, it's $3,300 for the wedding dress. And then you
Where
say.
Where are you getting these numbers?
I'm making them
Would
up, but they're all.
Triple everything.
All right,
I
will triple everything.
Okay.
It is $9,999 for the wedding dress,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was the down payment.
And then you say, for a dress you're only going to wear once. And then they say. No, my daughter's going to wear this when she walks down the aisle. And then I say, why the fuck aren't you wearing your mom's?
Right. Where's your...
I've done the math. The way, your mom pitched that same shit 30 years ago.
Exactly.
Why aren't you in it?
By the way, my mom just passed away. We found the wedding dress. I said, this is good enough. Use it. And by the way, they would in a heartbeat go, oh, if they found the same dress, the identical dress at some vintage shop and it was $15,000, they'd pay for it. $20,000, they'd pay for it. It's at my mom's house since we're having a yard sale and no.
Not only do they never wear the dress ever again, more up in the fleeting, and again, nothing wrong with buying some rental property or vintage automobile or you know, Shaq's,
a warehouse,
Shaq's tennis shoe,
right?
Just anything
I'll buy an NFT at this point.
So there's everything is gone by midnight. The fairy godmother comes in and everything turns into a pumpkin
gone. Right. It could be 11 o'clock given the Crescent Valley sheriffs.
You know, right. All
the
right.
neighbor phones in neighbor's already angry at Jake because he apparently smokes hookah and plays music at night after I go to bed. So you know, we're going to have to mollify the neighbors. I mean, the whole thing is a nightmare. I mean, it's absolutely. Do you know that the neighbor next door to me starts building a fence? I said, how could she build a fence? It's in the middle of the thing. And then she calls La Cunada's code enforcement on me.
No
and
more.
The code enforcement lady calls me and said, I'm not building the fence. I sent her a cease and desist letter. She goes, really? And I sent it to her. So the idiotic neighbor ends up now is facing misdemeanor charges in La Cunada because she complained about me because I complained about her fence. That shows you. It goes back to your storm drain, which, by the way, my guy did a good job on your storm drain.
Wonderful.
Didn't he?
And I owe him a 12-pack of something.
No, he needs a baseball bat
Maybe
to his
hookah.
Head. Yeah, a hookah with Jake in the backyard while playing AC/DC.
Let
something.
Me pitch this this document you could drop.
I keep interrupting you.
They
Why?
Do the thing with the dress, yeah. and they throw out, just for the regular people out there.
It's a total scam.
They go, okay, $3,000 for the dress. Now,
you keep saying you can't get the headband, whatever they call the thing that they wear. That thing costs like $17,000. It's ridiculous.
All right, so you're pricing centerpieces, and I'm pricing boutonnieres.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Let's just say $10,000 for the dress
for the garter
belt.
Right,
now, my thing is every $1,000. For the dress that you'd like to go up. And I'm just wondering if you could have one of your lower level guys draft this up. Okay. Every 1,000 you go up past 10,000, you must be able to fit in that dress for 1 year after the wedding. So you could go to 15,000, yeah, but we're going to have to have you in that dress for 5 years.
My family, these between Paulette and Denny, the idea.
They don't gain weight.
They don't gain. Not only did not gain weight, Paulette was telling me yesterday, you need to lose 50 pounds by the wedding. And I said, 50 what? Pounds?
50?
50. I said, 50?
You were supposed to get AIDS before the wedding?
I said, 50 pounds? What am I going to do? Break my jaw, slug me in the face, and I'll wire it shut. But 50 pounds before the wedding? I said, what, I have to look emaciated. I said, the whole idea of where are we having this wedding? And why am I paying so? I don't mind losing the 50 pounds if I don't have to pay for the Wolfgang.
Well, don't you think pacing and hand-wringing is going to drop you at least 18 before the wedding?
I don't know. I mean, I went to the gym this morning. I hadn't seen the guys in a while. They said, you look good and fit. And I said, yeah, talk to my wife. She says 50 pounds.
All right. So it is.
And then I get, and by the way, on top of it, it's nothing but fat shaming in this house. And the Jake's saying, Dad, stop eating. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy.
Well, Jake shouldn't be saying that. He's a world-renowned chef, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
All right. Should we talk about more global issues?
No. I don't know. No, we should talk about the wedding for 20 more minutes.
Okay. Well, I can keep going. Because, listen, you're the father of the bride.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, by the way, you know, there's going to be 15 minutes when I get to give a speech. And I am going to settle quite a few scores during that 15 minutes. They've already talked about having a table placed closely to the microphone to tackle me or to deck me or to like a stun gun or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I've said, nope, you want everything paid for? I get 15 minutes to just tell the truth.
All right. We may be straying into dangerous territory here, but the father of the groom. How is he doing financially?
Okay, this guy is not hurting financially at all. I mean, we're talking.
Did you see, Adam, that invitation is actually an invitation to two separate parties?
Yeah.
One thrown by that guy.
Oh, right? Really?
Oh, three nights beforehand.
Oh. Yeah.
This wedding, this invitation
This isn't a wedding. It's weddings. In fact, I was cross-examining. Since there's going to be an Indian wedding, technically, Tenny, are you married before we have the marriage in L.A.? Or is there some kind of a secular aspect to this?
I had the exact same situation because my wife's family threw a Persian wedding for us about 2 weeks before our actual wedding.
I didn't get invited to that.
It was family only.
And I'm not family.
Hey, you are family.
Wow. Did you get invited to the Persian?
Best rum cake I've ever had in my life.
You were at the
Still
Persian
thinking
wedding?
About, oh, absolutely.
Adam goes to the Persian wedding. I'm closer. Our boats are closer to Iran than North Hollywood. What the hell's going on? You couldn't spare us an ex. I went solo to it. You bring a date. You didn't have to pay for Paulette's dinner. The heck's the matter with you? Talk about cheap. I'm going to talk with your wife.
Jeez. Gary, you can come to solo to the. Yeah. No, I never went. Yeah. I just want to agitate you.
So we go to the Indian wedding, and I think he's paying the bill for that. I haven't seen a single invoice for that.
Is that out here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're going.
Okay, I'm going. I didn't know if it was taking place in India.
Well, I think there's another one out of state that I'm going to. I think that's what Jake's complaining about because that involves his birthday or 2 days. I said, Jake, it's your 28th birthday. Nobody gives a shit
nothing.
About your 28th
that's
birthday.
That's a zero burger.
It's like a total zero burger.
21.
Who cares?
And then
why? Because you woke
21
up on the,
and then 30.
Don't you? Yeah, I know you call it Happy Achievement Day, but it's like, okay, so it's your birthday. What the hell have you accomplished that we're going to celebrate your 28th year? Right?
Yeah. No, I agree. Go to the Achievement Day. So yeah. The wedding, what time's the wedding start?
In the afternoon sometime.
Oh, okay.
But they told me I have to start getting ready at 7 o'clock.
And then what are you doing for chamber orchestra?
I don't know. We've got armo bands, unarmo bands, knockoff bands.
Got System of a Down play.
I may have that. I may have Chris Brown come by and sing something. You know, we'll have a Michael Jackson impersonator. I'm going to do kind of the whole gamut of former clients.
You got Scott Peterson impersonator roaming around serving hors d'oeuvres off an oar.
What if, wait, but are you going to wear a Nehru jacket? Do I have to go get you a Nehru jacket?
Oh, you have for to go the, traditional garb,
a traditional
huh?
garb for the Indian Parsha? Mm. What do you think? Blue and gold, green and gold? What would be your color combo?
Yeah, I don't know. Gary, do you even know what a Nehru jacket is?
I sort of do from a reality TV show my wife watches, but I wouldn't traditionally.
Why don't you put it up on the screen? What a traditional Sangeet wedding attire is.
I would define a Nehru jacket as any jacket whose sleeves were longer than the actual jacket.
That's interesting because I always think of, when I think of it, I think of the collar. Yeah,
I think of the sort of shortness and length of it. But no, maybe you're right. Maybe it is all collar.
When you say
collar.
Shortness and length, I think of remember Eisenhower jackets? Yeah, there you go. I really want to get Jake in that. I think that's a good look for him, isn't it? But he couldn't fit in. He needs to lose a little weight.
All right, so it's a traditional Indian
garb.
Yeah, okay.
You'll do it.
I can do that.
You can do
it. All right, shall we now?
Now should we go to – wait, first let me just give you a little – we have a new sponsor, by the way. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Credit Karma, which I actually – I kind of willed this because I think I have recommended them to people, and now they're sponsoring us. You want instant gratification? Who doesn't? We're in the age of millennials. Credit Karma Money is a checking account where you can win cash by making purchases. Look at that. It's like playing GameStop. Win daily, instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card. If you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Can you imagine that? If I had this for the wedding, this would be the greatest thing of all time. Credit Karma Money has already given away $3 million to its 50,000 members. Open an FDIC. You know what that stands for?
No.
Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Oh, right. Insured account for free. No minimum balance required. No overdraft fees. Free withdrawals at 50,000 plus ATMs. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here. Right, Gary?
That's right. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules, banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC, maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Well, Mark, if you want to feel a little better about your lot in life, in my wedding, the father of the bride did not kick in at all, and neither did anyone in my family. I had to pay.
You paid?
I paid. And then
you have a talk with my son-in-law to be?
Yes. When my father-in-law passed away some years ago at the funeral or at the wake that was at the warehouse, people kept coming up to me and thanking me. And I said, why are you thanking me? And they said, because you paid for the funeral. So there are worse spots to be in than yours.
Wow.
That's all right.
I have one question. Do you have a college account for your kids?
I do have one for both of them, and I keep looking into ways to spend my son. Because he's clearly JUCO material at best, probably a vocational school where, you know, typewriter or toaster repair or something like that. All right. So,
okay, wait. What are we going to talk about? Gary, we have a number of subjects.
I floated one to Gary on the way in that I thought was interesting.
This is an interesting – why don't you pause it? Because it is fascinating to me.
Well – there's a lot of push very recently to take the COVID-19 virus and kind of push it to the Wuhan lab. Yeah. At the beginning, it was a pangolin or a bat or wet market or something.
The wet market.
A lot of that. But now they're pushing it toward the virology center, the lab. So obviously, if it's a bat, that's kind of force majeure. Now, you still might find some liability in China depending on how they reacted once they found out information, what information they shared with the rest of the world. But if you can connect it to the lab, then you got some liability there as a nation. And you know, obviously they've caused untold amount of damage through financial damage and death and destruction and everything else. It would be a big ticket for them for in a reparations type situation. Now, I said to Gary as I was driving in, I said, well, there is some precedent here. I mean, in World War II, Japan did a whole bunch of bad stuff to a whole bunch of neighbors, mm-hmm. and there was reparations.
Germany?
Germany as well. But right. I was specifically kind of looking for Japan because I wanted to know, I kept it to the Eastern Front, and Soviet, I want to know if China got reparations from Japan.
Well, let's break this down for a second. Do you have, because I love your conspiracy theories. Do you have a conspiracy theory why now, 14, 15 months later, there is a palpable push towards it's no longer wet markets, it's no longer from a bat virus, but there's a growing chorus amongst scientists that I've seen that we now have doubt that it's not so clear and that we need to do further investigation because there is a distinct possibility that it came out of the lab. And by the way, you couldn't say this a year ago, 14 months ago, without being, you know, considered racist. A tinfoil and a racist.
Right. Well, first things first. So Trump just announced he thinks it's from the lab in Wuhan. And he wants to blame China. And that was all the media needed to hear to just denounce him as a racist and a liar. So there was this sort of pushback, which was Trump said this. You know, Trump said, we're going to have the vaccines before the end of the year. And they all went, you're insane. It's going to take 4 years. And then he went, this virus comes out of a lab in Wuhan. They went, you're insane. You're racist. Well, that was all in service to win the election. They wanted to, they were right there that a couple months left to go. They wanted to get Biden in. And if they agreed with him about Wuhan and the virus, it would have changed the complexion of it as it manifests itself here. And also, there's always that we were worried about retaliation against Chinese Americans or Asians Americans. So whatever that is. But it was basically no different than ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. Like Trump said good. All of media said bad.
Right. Well, it's, so part they just of this kind of, it's part of this dialectic where, you know, it's either A or Z, there's nothing
right.
Between.
Because what you have to picture yourself. I think about you, like you're being up, you're in front of jurors, and there is a virus, and it came from Wuhan, and Wuhan has a wet market, and then 1,000 miles away, there's a cave with bats in it, but it also has a huge facility that works on these viruses. So why is it out of the question? As an attorney, could you picture that? Like pitching that? Oh, it's out. You know, it's what? Right up there with the DA or the mayor, whoever, when Chandra Levy was jogging in the park. And it's like, yes, we arrested another guy who grabbed a woman on the jogging trail and dragged her into the woods and raped her and tried to kill her. Yes, it's true. There are many similarities in the case. Don't even think
right.
about
it.
Like,
you can't consider it.
Really? That would, if you're sane and you're just a little bit sober, that is your first choice.
And this is the other thing that always kind of was perplexing to me. If it was from the wet market, then this is presumably that's a brand spanking new virus that you haven't studied. You don't know anything. You don't know its infectious capabilities or anything else. How did they know instantly to shut down Wuhan?
Yeah, they snapped into action as if they understood what it was. And the only way you would understand, if it came from a pangolin, then you wouldn't understand what it was.
You wouldn't understand, right. You might have said, hey, we've been studying these viruses and we understand that they're highly infectious. But you wouldn't know. You wouldn't. I mean, Jesus, they would. They'd be the smartest humans around if they figured that out instantaneously.
All I'm basically saying is if you were agnostic, if you were just sort of neutral, if you were a center fielder before the ball was hit, going, I don't know if it's going behind me, in front of me, am I right? Am I just in a sort of neutral position? and you went, we have a wet market and we have a virus lab. Why is it unthinkable to think of that it came from the virus? Now, if you were neutral, you'd never have that thought. You would never entertain that, oh, can't be from that. You'd, right. you'd go, maybe, probably,
and
I don't know.
And by the way, like a court case, you would start to build evidence. What's right. a good or a bad fact for my thesis? If I think my thesis is that it came from the wet market, then I've got to explain why they snapped into action with almost instantaneous
so it's like a familiarity. It's
yeah,
like
they knew something instantly. How did they know?
Right. They would have thought it was food poisoning coming from the wet market.
Wet market could have been, right. And so then is that a good fact for somebody who's proving or trying to prove that it came? If I want to bring a case and I'm going to bring a case against China, that certainly would be something I would put in the complaint. I'm going to put that in the complaint to show that they had knowledge against right. China for bringing some culpability to them for this spread of the virus.
Well, to me, it's kind of the difference between manslaughter and murder. Manslaughter is, you know, either way, we have a dead body. The wet market is, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't mean it. The guy was a jogger. He jumped out in front of me when I was driving home, you know. The other one is murder. The other one is oh, we knew what was going on, and we developed it, we knew it, and we didn't say anything. And by the way, they're negligent. How did it get out of the lab?
Well, and then let me layer on something else that's kind of interesting. Gary, wasn't it a World Health Organization tour or junket or investigation that went to China and was very limited in what they could see or what they
sure.
couldn't see?
Yeah.
Okay.
It all feels very suspicious.
So if I'm making the case, if I want to drop a complaint, if I want to prove this case, and by the way, for a civil case, I don't have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. For civil liability, once I get over sovereign immunity and all those good things, I just have to show it's more likely than not.
That it came from the lab.
That it came from the lab. By the way, those things certainly, to me, are compelling. Then, on the other side, this is part of the argument I've seen. The part of the argument for it skipped from the animal kingdom, or the aka the wet market, is they've done some genome studying, sequencing mm-hmm. of the virus itself, things of that nature. When you really delve into that science and take a look at it, it's kind of junk science. It's not peer reviewed that, and I'm not talking about the genetic sequencing. I'm talking about this idea of using it to prove that it did or didn't come from the animals.
Yeah.
That isn't conclusive.
Well, so for me, I have a simple rule of thumb. If CNN early on knows something to be true that's unknowable, then I know it must be the opposite, which is, how can you know it didn't come from a lab that tested viruses? Don Lemon, how do you know that 1 year ago? Please give us your insights. I know what you're doing. You couldn't know this thing. You could just go, make sense to me, or maybe, or probably, or something like that.
I have an employee like that. Always wrong, but never in doubt.
Right.
And no matter what I ask, he will give me the answer. And I can usually do a contrarian. If I could just get this guy to follow stocks, mm-hmm. I'd never have to work again because I'd ask him about a stock and I'd do the opposite.
So is
there liability?
Well, there is reparations. And, you know, you can go World War II killed, I don't know, Gary, you can probably look it up, but less Americans were killed in World War II than by the COVID-19 virus. Now, you got to figure out who was actually killed by the COVID-19 virus or who died with it. But I would say World War II is a few ticks under the 585 or whatever it is we're at, 1,000.
About half, 291.
Right. Okay.
Right. Now, see, if you want to get into the weeds, because I went down this road 20 years ago in the genocide stuff, originally, which we kind of replicated what they did during the Holocaust. The Holocaust litigation started Bill Chernoff was one of the early guys in it, lawyer in L.A., a wonderful lawyer. Bill had started suing on behalf of survivors.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government ended up kind of preempting that and saying, no, 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 you can't do that because we've got a government-to-government resolution. Germany, America, that federally preempts it. When we did the Armenian genocide litigation against banks and insurance companies, we settled some of those, but then the Ninth Circuit invalidated the California statute and they used federal preemption. They said, no, the idea of genocide back then isn't recognized by the executive branch, so therefore it's federally preempted. You can't sue as an individual on behalf of your class. Now, I mean, without getting into the weeds, now that Biden's declared a genocide, that may be a different issue. But here, if you were to sue as an individual for a class against China, first you'd have to hop over the sovereign immunity, if you could get through that, because generally a foreign nation has sovereign immunity. The exceptions are, you've talked about it before, Iran and the Lockerbie shooting down and Saudi Arabia.
Well, 9/11 Saudi Arabia, which is not really getting anywhere, but right. It's they're trying.
Right, because that's an ally.
But I would go back to World War II. So who did – you pulled up that article for me, Gary, right? So Japan made reparations to everyone around them.
But I think that was done, and Gary can correct me if I'm wrong, as a governmental armistice and surrender by Japan.
Yeah, it was all part of the Treaty of San Francisco in 1951, where basically everyone came to the table. There was agreements made on the prices that each country was going to walk away with.
Give a few of them just because it's kind of interesting, like Vietnam and stuff like that.
Give me just a sec.
Okay, so we owe China a lot of money.
Right.
So we have it. And maybe they have a lot of real estate holdings on our soil.
We've got a ton, and they're also one of the largest investors in treasuries.
Sorry. You got something, Gary?
Sure. You want me to read off some of
that? Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
All right. So a peace treaty with 49 nations and concluded 54 bilateral agreements that included those with Burma for 20 million, South Korea for 300 million, Indonesia for 223 million.
South Korea? That's all they had to pay? I mean, that's all they got?
This is 1951 dollars, too, right?
Yeah, but they supplied, I remember, all of the comfort women and everything. 300 million seems light.
So I wasn't reading off each year, but the agreement was in 51, but the South Korea payment, for instance, was in 65. Indonesia got paid 223 million in 58. The Philippines got 525 in 1967. Malaysia got 25 million in 67. Thailand got 5.4 billion yen in 55, though it doesn't say what the translation there is. Netherlands got 10 million.
But China didn't, right? But China got something else, right?
So because of the Chinese Civil War that was going on at the time in 51, neither of the Chinese, the People's Republic of China, which is the communist arm, nor the Republic of China, which was the nationalist, neither wanted to have the other one be at the treaty because they would be seen as the official China. So mm-hmm. they both kind of agreed that neither would go. So they weren't at the
that
signing.
That was kind of a lame thing. They should have just combined and said we'll divvy it up, right?
Right.
Well, they got paid somehow.
But they still walked away with over $20 billion worth of Japanese property and possessions that were left behind in
property
China.
Property and possessions. Yes, precedent.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm saying is if we could prove that this came from the lab, and if we could prove they knew it came from the lab, and if we could prove that they tried to cover it up and or cost a bunch of lives by not acting in such a way that would prevent it from being spread to the world. And then we present them a bill. Here's what it cost us economically in this country. And good news, you got a bunch of money over here in the form of in many different forms. Is there a play for that?
Yeah, I could see where, based on some of the hypothetical you just gave, that gives you, I think, enough to at least make a colorable claim and try to get in over the hurdle of sovereign immunity. All of that knowledge, all of that intentional disinformation, misleading, and the death and destruction, that might get you to where you need to be to kind of penetrate, permeate, or get over the sovereign immunity. Because sovereign immunity is basically the legal fiction that you can't sue another sovereign in one of our courts, that you would have to – that we weren't going to – because we wouldn't – the thinking is we wouldn't want to have the opposite happen. We wouldn't want China to drag the U.S. into a Chinese court.
Right. Well, it's interesting. And there, like I said, there's – some precedent for like us owing money to Iran or whomever and going, we have it, we're not giving it to you. Was we're keeping it, or we're keeping this or that. Anyway.
Well, remember, for those of you who like theories that are tied to modern day controversies, we returned pallets of money,
cash. Yeah.
Of cash to Iran that we had seized after one of their acts.
And right.
So they're, you know,
yeah,
they're,
we did return a lot of it, but we also used it. You know, like right. We could use this with China. Like, here's what we need
right.
from
I
you.
I come to your house, I take a bunch of your property, and then 20 years later, I'll say, here you go, Adam, it's in your driveway.
all right. So it's interesting, and we'll keep it going. Let me hit a spot here, and then we'll change gears. Tease what our next story is.
I think our next story is going to be Trump and the expansion of the investigation into the criminal aspect. We'll talk about that.
First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Remember the saying, if you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours to begin with. When it comes to your identity, the folks at LifeLock are calling BS all those nights, working overtime, saving up money, paying off debt, and now an identity thief wants to try to set your identity free. I say nuts to that. That's why LifeLock helps monitor your information to alert you to potential identity threats. If you become a victim, a dedicated U.S. specialist will be there to fix it for you. Don't take chances with your identity. Go with LifeLock, who's on the vanguard of technology, and protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Gary?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But when identity thieves try to take what's yours, you don't have to take it lying down. And while they aren't exactly setting it free, you can save up to 25% off your first year by going to LifeLock.com/doubt. That's LifeLock.com/DOUBT for 25% off.
All right, so Trump...
So this is as we've talked about for some time now, for years now, the Cy Vance and the Manhattan DA's office has been pursuing potential bank tax and insurance fraud on the Trump Organization. Apparently, this past week, the lawyer for the disgruntled ex daughter-in-law of Trump's CFO. So Trump has got a guy who, if you followed his show, I think made some appearances. Alan, I always forget his last name.
Weisselberg.
Weisselberg. Alan Weisselberg's former daughter-in-law, apparently has got a rather acrimonious split, has been cooperating. There's a picture that we showed on Beyond of her wheeling on a bell cart the evidence she was turning over. Her lawyer revealed that the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, has loaned basically her two investigators / lawyers to the Manhattan DA's office to expand the probe, which had previously been revealed as civil in nature, mm-hmm. meaning going after money and money penalties. And it's now expanded into a joint criminal probe with the Manhattan DA's office. So that, I think, changes a couple of things. Look, the Manhattan DA has been fighting for the records and now has the records all the way to U.S. Supreme Court and back. The expansion of the Attorney General is because that gives them That widens the playing field on what they can play with, the charitable contributions, the tax breaks that were given because of donations of land that Trump owned and things of that nature. That, I think, at this point, they're going to – if – and by the way, we talked about this before. Manhattan DA hired an ex organized crime prosecutor who was in private practice. I think his name is Pomerantz to lead the charge for them. So my guess is that before the end of the year, you're going to see either indictments or pleas from somebody in the organization.
So what's this mean for Trump personally in terms of exposure?
I think that there's two things that are kind of unusual to me. One is Rudy Giuliani's lawyer basically telegraphing that he needs money and apparently not getting the money. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting to me. This saying it's criminal leads me to believe they may be exerting either the Southern District, but I think more importantly, the DA and the AG. There's for Trump, this is his axis of evil. New York, you've now got the state AG, the Manhattan DA, and the Southern District of New York. That's his kind of axis of evil and his threat, I would say, to him.
Well, speaking of Trump, another story that's making the rounds is the Capitol insurrection / riot and the investigation of it in a special committee. I was curious your take on this. They want to have a special committee put together and do the investigation of the insurrection. I hear that there's 14,000 hours of footage from a multitude of surveillance cameras.
You would think it's one of the most surveilled places in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to take 4.5 hours or 7 hours and get it into 14,000 hours without, you got to have more than one Ring doorbell at that place. So it's like 14,000 hours of footage that they're not releasing. They don't want to share with anyone. I would suspect there's a lot of stuff in there that wouldn't make their argument. I would suspect there's already seen footage of cops like talking to these rioters and saying, yeah, follow me. I'll let you go this way, but keep it cool. And the rioters are like, I'm keep it cool.
Something came out this week showing that.
So it's like they're not sharing any of the 14,000 hours. And they're obviously not sharing the name of the cop that shot the woman from San Diego. If in they launched this committee / investigation, aren't they going to be compelled to push that stuff out there? Like, aren't the Republicans going to go, all right, if you want an investigation, we'll do an investigation, but we need the 14,000 hours of footage and we need the name of the cop.
There's so many cross currents here. And, this is what I don't quite understand. I mean, obviously, the Democrats are pushing for what's been called 9/11 / commission. The Republicans are rebelling against that. The cynic in me thinks the Republicans don't want to because anybody who pushes or goes along with that is going to have Trump kind of blowback. So they don't want to do that. That's from a political calculation. From a criminal justice calculation, why the Republicans haven't said, we want to let the criminal justice system work. There's ongoing investigations, ongoing prosecutions. We don't want to worry about what's called Castigar problems. If we call a witness, that could affect the ongoing. I mean, that would, to me, be the typical kind of refuge of the Republicans. The Democrats, I would, if they really wanted to do something like this, should, I think, be pushing the idea of, as you said, finding tapes, having them subpoenaed in to the committee, which they can do, and then releasing if there was tapes that are even more helpful than they're already that is out there. So it's interesting to me the political calculations, which seem to trump, if you will, pun intended, the criminal justice ones. Because, for instance, the shaman man – Chewbacca man.
Right.
They just ordered
QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman. They just ordered a mental health exam on him. Which surprise, surprise. Then there was a lot of back and forth this week. Whose lawyer was it, Gary, that came out and called his – was it his – that called his client and most of these people, the short bus people? Did you hear about this? This was
– No. As it pertained to the Capitol
insurrection. Yeah. Yes. He said that most of them were brain damaged or short bus people. The lawyer did, and he just was – he was pilloried.
Well, here's an interesting –
It was QAnon Shaman's lawyer.
Yeah. Here's you read his quote? You'll like this because it's as politically inappropriate as you can get.
You need a second, Gary?
For me. Yeah, please.
Okay.
You know you're
– So I'd heard that – the people they still have detained, they're not charging them with an insurrection. They're charging them with trespassing. So how does that help? Does that hurt your insurrection narrative?
Yeah. I mean, because I know, I won't say how, but I do have a belief that they were, at least the D.C. Attorney General was seriously looking at sedition/insurrection. But so far, we haven't seen any of that, and we're 5 months out.
Right. So I'm kind of saying is how do you move forward with how would you move forward with an arson investigation if all the people you arrested at the fire, you weren't charging for arson?
Gary's shaking his head. What did we do?
What did we find?
I think Mark knew exactly what this quote was, and he wants it recorded of me saying it.
All right, let's hear it.
This is Albert Watkins, the attorney for the QAnon Shaman. He said, quote, "A lot of these defendants, and I'm going to use this colloquial term, perhaps disrespectfully, but they're all fucking short bus people. These are people with brain damage. They're fucking retarded. They're on the goddamn spectrum."
Shit. Could you repeat that one more time? I missed part of that.
The fans have already clipped it and turned it into a drop.
Wow.
Yeah. Now there's, you know, in the legal ethics community of about, you know, 10 guys who discuss things like this, there's been quite a bit of discussion as to whether or not this gentleman, Mr. Watkins,
correct,
has violated his duties by calling his client and others similarly situated. What did he call them? Retarded and short bus people?
They're all fucking short bus people. These are people with brain damage. They're fucking retarded. They're on the goddamn spectrum.
I would argue this guy's the ultimate attorney. Because
I kind of have made that argument. So
well, there's two cases. Look, right. There's the prosecution says this was a well-oiled machine. This was planned. These are assassins. These are white supremacists who with an eye towards sedition. And this was – they're trying – so the prosecution is trying to turn it into – criminal enterprise masterminds, and then they went out and they came just short of executing their well-armed plan. If you're the defense, you can't argue that they weren't in the building. You have to argue that they stumbled into the building and wanted to go to the gift shop to get a wax figurine of Harry Reid. So that's your argument. Like this is basically the argument when you have a murder, a client on murder, and you're saying he has the mentality of a 9-year-old, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry. He didn't know he was doing something wrong when he killed his stepdad. So, yes, you're insulting your client, but your client should bite his lip and take it, because if we can convince everybody, you know, if we think he's some criminal mastermind who's killing the stepdad to collect the insurance, he's going to hang. If you can convince him he's a dullard who didn't know which end of the gun the bullet came out of, we might be able to get him to walk.
There used to be in California, and I think it was Penal Code Section 17, which immunized idiots. People capable of committing a crime, an idiot was not capable of committing a crime. We called it the idiot defense. So I've been arguing for the last week in friendly banter with friends of mine who are lawyers and criminal defense lawyers that this guy is onto something. He's going to put it out there that these people are, you know, and by the way, this has been an argument I've had with my partner, Ben Boring, a.k.a. Boring Cop. I, you know, he thinks more nefarious, but he also, I'll give it to him, he always says weird. He uses the term weird. They're weird people. And I say weird, but I, it's almost like there's kind of just off mental health wise. And there's a lot of people who, when they're off, I mean, you should see some of our emails at the office sometimes, that really believe this stuff and with their heart and soul, because they are a little off. For whatever reason.
Whether they're legitimately off or not is really not the argument. The argument is it a good tactic? And because it's binary, the smarter and the more you know and the – look, if these guys could come up with evidence of them planning it the day before and, you know, schematics of the Capitol building and, you know, SEAL Team 6, you go this way and the code word is Raven, you could throw the book at them. If you could say they were drunk and stumbled into this thing and thought it was a Hooters, then you have to let them go. So that's the angle you have to work as the defense. You can't argue they weren't in the building, and you can't argue that being in that building isn't illegal and this whole thing wasn't an atrocity. You can't say what happened was okay, and you can't say my client wasn't in the building because there's footage of your client in the building. So now you have one last argument to make. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He's too dumb.
Right. And, you know, the idiot defense. And by the way, you know, what you kind of have mined here is the old expression, don't fight the facts. You can't fight the facts. You got to embrace the facts.
Gary, the one part of his quote that you guys aren't latching onto that I found particularly great is that he says, I'm going to use this colloquial term, perhaps disrespectfully. So he thinks it might be disrespectful to call someone fucking retarded.
Yes. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing, which is we should all have something in case we get into these kinds of scrapes with the law. Everyone should send out an insane tweet about the earth being hollow.
So that you can set it up.
And then when you're defending me, you're going, this imbecile. Look, March 2014. You know what he said? I quote. He said there were mole people living in center earth and that he could communicate with them. So you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you really think he knew what the fuck he was doing?
You know why Adam is a genius? Because there is stuff. How do you get in prior recollection recorded or exceptions to the hearsay rule is an indicia of reliability, and you just nailed it.
I didn't even know I did.
You didn't even know you did it. I mean, say, you know, Gary, one more time, what was the first part of that quote?
You're so lucky. I want to come to this wedding. A lot of these defendants, and I'm going to use this colloquial term, perhaps disrespectfully, but they're fucking short bus people. These are the people with brain damage. They're fucking retarded, and they're on the goddamn spectrum.
Colloquial is sort of like you saying y'all instead of you all, not fucking retarded.
Not fucking retarded. I mean, and short bus people?
That's what I think of.
You can't say short bus people anymore, can you?
No.
No.
So, all right. So
Gary just did it three
times. You can't use any
of
those words anymore.
But still circling back.
Yeah, but
it's
effective. Don't you think it's effective?
It's effective. Yeah. But circling further back, are the Republicans going to go, fine, you want an investigation? We want to see the 14,000 hours of footage, and we want the name of the cop who shot the woman from San Diego.
No, because I think the political calculation trumps, pun intended again, everything. They can't go there. They don't want to get Liz Cheney'd, so to speak. So I just don't think they can go there. They don't want to go there. They want to focus on 2022.
All right. Let me hit Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you have your automotive policy. Wouldn't it be nice if you could bundle those up and save a bundle? At Geico. Geico wants you to take your homeowner's, your renter's insurance and bundle it up with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So what do? Well, you go to geico.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com. All right. Tonight, I'm going to be at Jam in the Van. We're going to do a live pod there.
Wow.
And Loxy's playing his band, Chris Luxemana, and Dawson's going to be doing stand-up. Awesome, Dawson. And then Golden Colorado Buffalo Rose coming up. I got to make it back. Buffalo
Rose. You
going to
be in Alaska on wedding eve?
Yeah, I'm doing a show in Anchorage, and I'll have to scoot back Sunday morning.
Yeah, you're going to have to beat cheeks
back. And head on back. Go to amcroll.com for all the live shows. What do you got, Mark?
I got if you're in Southampton, New York, go by the Capri Hotel. Go see Naya. The restaurant's open today. Gigi's is open, as loyal as Elixir's. Hang out by the pool, get a cabana. Downtown, we've got 10E. We've got Engine Company 28. We may even have music outside. And if you're in New York City, Prova in Grand Central Terminal or in the Moxie Hotel in Times Square.
And subscribe to Reasonable Doubt's YouTube channel, youtube.com/ReasonableDoubt podcast. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagos and Gary Smith saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.